Trendstorm.
Welcome back to Trendstorm. Now let's take a look at Serbia's conundrum in Kosovo. Serbian President Aleksandar Vučić confirmed his critics' worst fears by proposing the partition of Kosovo, which his opponents claim amounts to an unconstitutional sellout of this historic territory. This so-called solution isn't anything new, but received renewed interest following the December 2016 publication of former British diplomat Timothy Less's provocative article for Foreign Affairs titled Dysfunction in the Balkans, where he asserted that the entire region must be partitioned along ethnic lines in order to supposedly stabilize it. This is a very dangerous idea that risks opening Pandora's box even further than it already is, and catalyzing an uncontrollable chain reaction of irredentism. But it's nevertheless the course of action that the Serbian leader has seemingly decided on when it comes to Kosovo. President Vučić's EU partners demand that Serbia make progress on normalizing its relations with the breakaway cradle of its civilization that was forcibly dislodged from the state by NATO and is nowadays mostly populated by ethnic Albanians, if it ever desires to join the bloc. So it was predictable that the country's Europhile leader would take a step in this direction sooner than later. It takes two to tango, however, and his de facto counterpart in Kosovo, Hashim Thaci, isn't willing to dance, declaring that there will be no partition of Kosovo and no autonomy for Serbs. End quote. The Albanian leader also laid claim to some of the Serbian borderland areas that his ethnic compatriots inhabit and said that they should be placed under the control of his political entity as part of a final peace agreement. Despite the unwillingness of Kosovo's so-called authorities to cooperate with this partition plan, President Vučić seems totally undeterred and is eager to put the general issue to a national referendum, even though the Serbian constitution describes the province of Kosovo and Metohija as an integral and constituent part of the country. Furthermore, the supreme law of the land says that the country's borders are inseparable, indivisible, and inviolable. Though President Vučić could try to amend the document if Serbs signal their support for this move through the proposed referendum. The country is therefore in a conundrum because the government wants to resolve the Kosovo issue once and for all in order to make progress on its EU membership bid. But reports indicate that the people are dead. Folks, once again, all eyes are on the Balkans, and I think everybody's talking about the future of Serbia and Kosovo because it finally looks like Belgrade might be willing to commence a so-called compromise on this issue. So we're going to speak to two Serbian experts today to discuss this further with us. And the first one is Mr. Vukasin Miljevic. He is a political analyst and commentator from Belgrade.
Trendstorm.
Okay, Vukasin, the Serbian people seem to be firmly against any partition of Kosovo, even if conceding ownership of most of their sacred historical territory is a prerequisite for EU membership, but the government keeps moving in this direction regardless. So why does President Vučić continue to insist on this?
President Vučić and Serbia through him is under ongoing pressure to finalize the process of Kosovo independence by the end of this year. So these verbal initiatives looks like an attempt of saving Serbia's face, of trying to save at least north of the province, in turn for accepting the rest of Kosovo as independent. However, we have to remember that Vučić himself was a hardcore nationalist. He was even bordering with chauvinists during the 90s. Since then, let's say 2010, he made the arc of transformation, let's say, and made quite an effort at gaining credibility in the West as the leader with reformist and liberal potentials. He even contributed to the election campaign of Hillary Clinton for 2016 elections. However, now he finds himself under pressure from the EU and lower echelons of the American establishments, those left over from the old administration ever since the Trump won his victory. It seems those structures are trying to use what pressure they still have, while they still have it, in order to finish up what they started in the Balkans. President Vučić has shown that he is adaptive, and this should also be seen as a move, an attempt at gaining some maneuvering space. Up until now, he was creating that space with talks of association of Serbian municipalities, which is now being succeeded with talks of partition, which tomorrow may be succeeded with some other talk. It is interesting to notice how all of this talk about partitioning of Kosovo so far has produced more political problems for the separatists and inside NATO itself than it has for Serbia or to her allies.
Okay, so Vukasin, I want to bring up something that President Vucic said in May of this year, and it's that, and I'm going to quote him, "Whatever the solution for Kosovo may be, it will be my political end." End quote. Which, of course, this is very predictable given how sensitive the issue is, but how could he even reach a so-called solution in the first place, given that the Constitution says that Kosovo is an integral part of Serbia?
Well, you're very right there, and you should remember that President Vučić's personal style of politics is tied to his character. He has practically been saying something similar to that from the very beginning of his political reign. He has been repeating that this or that policy will be the end of him, lamenting on his fate in the public. But the man enjoys over 50% of the cast votes in the last two elections in the country, and is counting on his pathos to sway the public on certain political issues. And it has even been semi-successful at it so far. I'd say with Serbian opposition amassing into a united front, and seemingly choosing Kosovo over EU as their main team, maybe even supported by some elements in the West as Vucic claims, and if we take into account the obvious lack of support for his idea from all interested parties in the international community, it is very unlikely that President Vučić would engage into such a sensitive and risky business of delivering the new constitution after offering a capitulation of the greater part of the Kosovo position.
Okay, well, thank you for explaining that then. Now, if we consider everything that we spoke about, Vukasin, how likely do you think it is that President Vučić will succeed in his plans to partition Kosovo? And what's the likelihood that the separatist entity could seize more Albanian inhabited territory as part of a so-called exchange for the Serbian inhabited north? Because I'm reading some of the statements coming out of this Kosovo entity. And Hashim Thaci, I believe that he wants to lay claim to about three separate border territories. What do you think is going to happen in this case, and how likely is his are his plans to succeed?
Well, to put it bluntly, it is very unlikely that this Vucic plan for partitioning of Kosovo will succeed, or any plan at it. Most importantly, there are no international players strong enough or of any kind really ready and willing to support such a solution, even if Thaci and Vucic somehow reach an agreement between themselves. We have to remember that Thaci is not alone in Kosovo. He has Haradinaj and other factors there who are, let's say, not on the same page as Thaci. You have to remember that North, with four Serbian dominating municipalities, is also strategically important territory for economic sustainability of the province. It houses most of the available technical and drinkable water, for example. Relinquishing control over that would spell disaster for anyone with an ambition of making independent Kosovo a sustainable thing. Same is with the Serbian patriots, who want to return whole of Kosovo and see that as their final goal. So do the supporters of Kosovo independence want it whole separated from Serbia. They, along with the separatist leadership in the province, are mostly unwilling to make any concessions, as how they perceive it already defeated Serbia has nothing to ask. So there is also a question of Serbian Orthodox Church and its voice stance on the issue as a major factor and obstacle for anyone dreaming of uniting the Serbian public behind this idea. Getting only a small part of Kosovo back and leaving all the enclaves, ancient monasteries and churches in the hands of the separatists would hardly be seen as a victory by most Serbs. Likewise, cementing and legitimizing one of the worst ethnic cleansing of civilian population and theft of land in Europe would also hardly be possible to sell as a success. And if we count and add to all of this proposals for the exchange of territories, as you put it, meaning that Belgrade would also have to cede control of the Preševo region in inner Serbia to the separatists, I would say prospects for success in this endeavor simply seem impossible.
Vukasin, thank you for sharing your detailed analysis about the prospects of success for Vucic's partition plan. Now we're going to hear what Mr. Stefan Gajic has to say. He's a PhD in political science who works at the Institute of European Studies in Belgrade.
Trendstorm.
Okay, Stefan, to the best of my knowledge, the internationally recognized ethnic partition of a separatist entity hasn't ever happened, so why is Serbia the first country where this dangerous precedent is being seriously considered, especially bearing in mind that the borders might then be updated on a regular basis?
Well, the question why is the million-dollar question, because President Vučić seems to be very lonely in his idea of finding, as he says, a final solution for peace between Serbs and Albanians. What he's talking about is making an ethnic border which would, of course, be on expense of Serbia. But what is problematic with this is not only that this idea, in my view, is also a bit racist, because what is underlined is saying that that two peoples of different ethnic origins cannot live under the same state roof, which is absolutely not true when it comes to Serbia and Albania, despite of all the historical processes, the negative ones that we know about. We live together for many centuries, and some of those centuries, most of them actually, were not centuries of conflict, but of cooperation. But anyway, Vučić is directly violating the constitution to which he gave an oath when he became president. He gave an oath while holding his right hand on the constitution, and the constitution of Serbia in its preamble, so in its most important part, says that Kosovo and Metohija is a undivided part of Serbia, which is why he is playing with being treated for high treason. And even some politicians in Serbia already have openly said, not only that, but have invited the other organs of other branches of the government, and directly the military, the constitutional court, and police, to prevent the president from breaking the constitutional order of the country. And then we come back to the question, why is this? If one looks at the general pressure that Serbia is receiving from the West or the Brussels, it is hard to say that it is very intensive lately, because we don't really have a threat of imminent bombing, which we were faced with in 1998 and 1999. Neither is there a sweet carrot that is waiting ahead of us. So there is, not, of course, in the shape of the EU membership, because the future of the EU is uncertain, right. And we won't be certainly attacked again. So the question why appears. But maybe one photograph can give an answer to that. In the beginning of July, journalist Robert Fisk took a photo of Vučić's counselor, Tony Blair, the former Prime Minister of Great Britain, who actually was one of the greatest motors of bombing of Serbia, in Belgrade. And after this, we have seen Vučić intensifying his speech about finding a final solution, how Albanians are so demographically powerful that in 50 years there will be more of them than Serbs. And first of all, it's factually not true. And second of all, it is very problematic. It is a very problematic statement, to say the least. And then we come to the core of the question. Why? What is motivating Vučić to behave so much as if he is in a state of panic when there is no visible pressure from any foreign power? There is a theory which is quite widespread that he has given some promises to the foreign centers of power, which are not necessarily states, that he would deliver on giving up Kosovo. I'm saying these are all speculations, but should be taken into consideration.
Okay, well, if we keep that in mind then, Stefan, how serious do you think he is about this referendum proposal? Because I really want to ask about that. Do you think he's even going to go forward with it? It sounds like, from what you're saying, most Serbs are against this partition plan. So would he be willing to embarrass himself by putting it to the vote and being utterly humiliated by the people? Or you think this is a distraction? I mean, how do you interpret his proposal for a referendum on this issue? And we got about 2 minutes left.
If he goes for a referendum, he will go for his own victory. That's for sure. People who are against his proposal are against the referendum, because the referendum itself is anti-constitutional. You don't discuss about the territorial integrity of a country. But his biggest problem now is the conflict with the church. Political parties, opponents are not his problem, neither the intellectuals, neither the 90% of the population, which is against, according to all the social research. But now that the church has firmly stood its ground when it comes to Kosovo, just to remind you that the seat of the Serbian Orthodox Church is in Peć, in the part that Vučić is willing to give to the greater Albania. The end game is NATO. If Kosovo gets a seat in the UN, in 2 years it would join Albania, and then automatically this territory becomes NATO. And then Serbia will have no choice and would do the same. So the big game is between NATO proponents and those who are against it within the West. Because our according to some indication, it was Pentagon that prevented the scenario about which Bishop Theodosie and Monk Sava Janić from Kosovo were talking about. They were saying that there was a plan of a false flag operation in which most of the Serbs would be ethnically cleansed from the so-called southern part of Kosovo, and then Serbia would probably took some 10% of the territory, while Albanians would take cities in south central Serbia with a one small town with a threshold with the Albanian majority. And this scenario, it seems to be prevented because the American soldiers from the KFOR came to the Gazivode plant, which was in the epicenter of the conflict that thankfully did not happen. That both Vučić and Tači on the other side, if they really had such a plan in mind, that both America, then Chancellor Merkel, and Russia mm-hmm. are against this. So if they had a green light for such a plan, it was from sources of power that are not official. And
got
maybe
it.
Maybe this player's visit to Belgrade gave us a partial answer.
Okay, Stefan, unfortunately, this is all the time that we have. Thank you for sharing your fascinating insight into President Vucic's motivations to partition Kosovo, the formidable domestic opposition that he's bound to face in pursuit of this, and especially the challenge from the church.
Trendstorm.
So folks, if we think back on what both Vukašin and Stefan shared with us today, we can see that undoubtedly Serbs are dead set against this partition plan. But at the same time, both of our experts argued why President Vučić wants to go forward with this. I mean, on the one hand, of course, he wants to bring his country into the EU, and this is the only way to do so. But on the other, there might be some more unseen influences guiding his hand in this matter. And it might seem as though he's part of a larger process here that's being experimented with in the Balkans, because it does seem like there's a general trend, unfortunately, to experiment with new governance, quote-unquote, models in the lands of the former Yugoslavia. And what's happening right now seems to be the latest iteration of that trend. So, folks, if you want to sound off and share what you think about this, please send us an email at radio@sputniknews.com or find us on Facebook. Stay with us.